Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, the great book of Ezekiel, God strengthens us. There's no better strength than that. It'll stay with you. It'll get you through. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. We're in the 23rd chapter of this great book of Ezekiel. It's a little bit graphic, but yet at the same time, it's a parable in as much as these two sisters are symbolic of the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Aholah is the house of Israel, and Aholibah is the house of Judah. Aholibah means my tent or tabernacle is in her, because it was a king line. And the main thing our Father is passing off so that you feel his emotions is if they were yours and they acted in this way, only what he's really talking about is not adultery, as he passes this off in whoredoms, but idolatry. It hurts him a lot worse to see false teaching in what is supposedly called a tabernacle of God or a house of God or a church. It really hurts him. And that's what this chapter is about. So be mature with me as we cover it and understand. And the Father's kind of dressing them down like, you know what you got coming to you for their whoredoms. So chapter 23, verse 37, let's pick it up there with a word of wisdom from our Father. And it reads concerning Aholah and Aholibah, that they have committed adultery. That's, they have not been true to our Father. And blood is in their hands. And with their idols have they committed adultery. That makes it religious, you understand? And have also caused their sons and their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Meaning, you didn't teach them my word whereby they were my children in your whoredoms. You don't even know who their father is. It's certainly not me. And that is in a parabolic sense, okay, that these were loose. What? They lost their identity. They don't know who they are. Most of the 10 tribes that went north over the Caucasus Mountains, later called Caucasian, settled Europe and migrated to Canada and America, they have not a conception, not the least idea who they are. But God knows. He didn't lose anybody. But this way, they are lost to lies, deception, and false teaching. 38, moreover, this they have done unto me. This is a confrontation with Almighty God. You got it? That's not wise. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. Do you know what the high Sabbath of all Sabbaths is? It's Passover. Passover is the day that God freed the children of Israel when they took the blood of the lamb and placed it over the door. And the death angel had to pass over. And then commemorated throughout the time, and as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Christ became our Passover. The highest, Christ is the highest Sabbath there is. Sabbath meaning rest. You don't have any rest or peace of mind if you're not in the Lord. But what he's saying here, if you're not careful, you take in the Antichrist instead of the true Christ, and you violate, sell yourself to Satan himself and violate my house, my name, and so forth. You profane it. Verse 39. For when they had slain their children to their idols with false teaching, they had a spiritual death. You got it? Then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. Unfortunately, this is why, be careful listening to ratchet jaws. I'm not going to judge any preacher. Okay, God does. But if what he's teaching isn't proven out in God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, then get back to your Father. Don't listen to the traditions of men that make void the word of God. Or it puts you, and not only that, your children in a heap of hurt. It sells them into divination, into false teaching, and is very misleading. They take away, well, how is it just exactly that they profane it? How could our church possibly have done that? Well, why don't you do a little homework? Passover is the high Sabbath. Do you know what many Christians call the high Sabbath today? Ishtar, which is a pagan goddess. They changed, in the book of Acts, they changed the word Paschal, which is Passover in the Greek, to Ishtar, this pagan goddess, so they could drag a few more people into their little house, profaning the name of Almighty God. I hope that your church isn't involved in that. It's real easy for you to check it out. All you need is a Strong's Concordance from our library and check out the word Easter, and it will tell you it should be Passover, not Ishtar. Verse 40. That's how they profane our Heavenly Father. He does not like it. 40. And furthermore, besides that, that ye have sent for men. I want you to make a note. This isn't Adam. This is Enosh, which means any man, any race, anywhere. Enosh, to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent. And lo, they came for whom thou didst wash thyself, paintest thy eyes, and deckest thyself with ornaments. Playing the old harlot again. You just keep it up. There wasn't enough locally. You sent far away to Enosh. 41. And settest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. You take those things that are holy, that are even that we anoint with the oil of our people, and you set it there and use it in whoredoms rather than for what it was meant for. Any time that you allow the false Christ to take the place of the true Christ, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. 42. And a voice of a multitude being at ease, real lazy with the word, okay? Real lazy was with her. And with the men, again, Enosh, not Adam, of the common sort were brought, Sabaeans, that's drunkards, from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon her hands and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 9, where the enemy, the children of Cain, the Kenites, Satan's little army, they all have crowns on, pretending to be royalty. They're royalty, all right, but in the satanic sense. You want to be real careful, my friend. This is, many people would shrug at this, but it is absolute truth, and it's going to come to pass exactly as it's written. 43. Then said I unto her that was old in adultery. She just won't quit. Will they now commit whoredoms with her, and she with them? Are they going to have anything to do with her now? 44. Yet they went in unto her, and they go, as they go in unto a woman that playeth the harlot, so went they in unto Ahola, and unto Aholibah, the lewd women. They just can't seem to get with the word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and follow God's way rather than playing religion. Worship, you see, get the idol part of this. Worshiping idols means worshiping something other than Almighty God. He does not like it. Verse 45. And the righteous men, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses, and after the manner of women that shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is in their hands. They lead people to a spiritual death. Playing church, okay? That's what they're really doing. They're not really whores. They're playing church and misleading people with false teaching. Verse 46. For thus saith the Lord God, I will, that's pretty definite, I will bring up a company upon them and will give them to be removed and spoiled. I'm going to do that. 47, and the company shall stone them with stones and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters and burn up their house with fire. In other words, if they listen to them, what are these stones? Tyre. Well, who is Tyrus? That means rock or stone. It's Satan. When we get to the 28th chapter, you'll see that that is the name of Satan. And false teachings and absolutely worshiping Satan himself, thinking it is Christ, it's going to upset a lot of people and it's going to hurt a lot of people. Why does it take them to the fire? Well, if you're not careful, you'll end up in hell. That's at the end of the millennium. Verse 48. Thus will I cause lewdness, this is how it'll happen, I will cause lewdness to cease out of the land, and all women, that all women may be taught not to do after your lewdness. That is to say, worshiping something other than God himself. What is the first commandment? Don't put anything before the living God. Don't worship anything before the living God. That's important to him. 49, and they shall recompense your lewdness upon you, and you shall hear the sins of your idols. You shall bear, rather, the sins of your idols, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. That's his whole purpose. You're going to pay the full penalty. What he's saying, those that continue in this, the reason I'm going to put a stop to it, I'm going to do away with them. That means at the seventh trump, when Christ returns, all turned into spiritual bodies, it stops abruptly. Because Satan is cast into the abyss, the pit, and every knee shall bow to the true Christ. Why? Power. The fact that they've been had. And for some, it will still be too late. Just as the children of Israel, when they wandered in the wilderness for one generation, it was just one day too late. And God will only take so much, but there is a final end to everything other than the eternity itself, and that is endless. But only those that follow God's word, his plan, that read the letter he has sent you, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you understand the emotions of your father. He wanted you to see that. He wanted you to see how it hurts him when you allow yourself to be pulled off into false religions and false teaching. It hurts him. Well, I've wondered why he has never blessed me. That's a good reason. I mean, why should he want to? If you're practicing funny bunnies and Easter parades, then why would God want to bless you when you've profaned his highest Sabbath of all, Passover, which Christ became? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6, and 7. Well, I didn't know that. Well, he sent you a letter, and you are intelligent. You see, God's children are not destroyed by war. God's children are not destroyed by man. God's children are destroyed for lack of knowledge, for not understanding. When God sent them the letter, preparing them and telling them. Now, those two sisters were symbolic of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, all inclusive. This is not saying that all Israelites and all Judahites are bad, but it is that element that slips away with no discipline. That's what's going to happen to them. And our Father wanted that made very clear, that he's got feelings. He loves you, but naturally he's not going to love you when you start worshiping something else and practice other writings other than the letter he's written to you. Okay. Now we come to chapter 24. And from 24 through 32 is the Battle of Babylon. Now, the Battle of Babylon is symbolic of who is the king of Babylon in the end times, and we are in the end times. It's Satan. Okay. So, therefore, these chapters very much pertain to you, and it lets you know, as a landmark, what's going to befall us in the end times. You can measure it, you can just watch it, it will come to pass just like it's written. So, having said that, again, the Babylonian War, the coming of the king of Babylon, which is none other than Satan himself, as the great book of Revelation so declares. The apocalypse, revelation meaning to take away the cover and to make it known, this helps you see that. Chapter 24, verse 1. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, captivity's gone on a little while here. Verse 2, Son of man, write thee the name of this of the day. This is a point. Even of this same day, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day. You can count on it. In other words, what? What does he intend to do? What does the king of Babylon intend to do? Well, naturally, we know there were three sieges in history, and that has been going to come around again. But as it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, Satan himself, the king of Babylon, is going to sit in the city of Jerusalem claiming to be God. And do you know something? Ahola and Aholabah are going to believe it and worship him. Verse 3, mark the day, verse 3, and utter a parable. We're going to say this in a parable form so that not everybody understands, but you that have eyes to see and ears to hear, God does see. You will understand. And utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. You remember back, what was it in chapter 11? The people said, we're in a pot. The iron pot is our wall. Well, this time God's going to put them in the pot. They need a cleaning. Verse 4, gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choice bones. In other words, you take that the priest is supposed to get, you take that God is supposed to get as an offering, and I mean the very best. Now, you want to stop and think about that. Many people that study God's Word for hour in and hour out think they're the best. Well, have you really done your homework? Have you missed something? Something you want to consider? Because our Father is saying, you put the mutton in the pot. What's he going to do with the pot? 5, take the choice of the flock and burn also the bones under it. I'm sorry, but the Masora translates this as the wood. So let's say read it as it is. Burn also the wood under it and make it boil well. And let them seethe the bones of it therein. I mean, you cook it and you cook it and you cook it. You make it hot for them, hot for them, hot for them. Mark the day, my friend. 6. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece, let no lot fall upon it. It's not chosen for anything but to be destroyed. You know, scum here is an interesting thing. Verdigris is it's green and it's poison, but it's also rust. It's something that the city needs a good scrubbing, a good cleaning. Especially after the false Christ is there. Got it? Verse 7. For her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of a rock. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust. In other words, she didn't try to hide her sins. She poured it. Usually blood, you bury it or put it away so it can't be seen. But here, she puts it right on top of the killing rock where everybody can see it. You know, in agriculture, when we butcher an animal for our own use, when you butcher that animal and you bleed it, which you must be doing it, butchering correctly as God instructs us to have it clean, then much blood is placed upon the ground. And when other livestock come up to that, if you haven't covered it or removed it, they go bananas. I mean, when they smell that blood on the ground, that herd goes wild. So it is. They don't try to cover anything. Why? They're not ashamed of it. Well, if they're Christian people, if they're people that thought they were doing right, why wouldn't they be ashamed? Because they think what they're doing is right. They think he is the true Christ. Why? They haven't read the letter, God's letter to them, this letter of love, keeping you out of trouble. They think what they're doing is right, so therefore they don't try to cover their sin. They boast about it. Worshiping, many of them receiving even his mark in the hand, meaning they're really working up Satan. They're doing it for him. They're proud of it. Even turning their relatives in for not worshiping him also. And so it is. Verse 8. That it might cause fury to come up to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock that it should not be covered. In other words, they're going to be caught in it and they're going to be found guilty. 9. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city. That's Jerusalem. I will even make the pile for fire great. You know, when he cleanses good. 10. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, and spice it well, and let the bones be burned. You cook it till it falls off the bones. Verse 11. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot and may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the scum, the rust of it may be consumed. You know, in the old time, if you cooked in a pot and the grease and everything would stick to it from the cooking on the outside, when you take it and you burn it in the fire, the rust and the crud just pops off. Makes a popping sound sometimes when it comes loose, cleaning it. That's the way you temper and season a cast iron skillet. You burn it. What God is saying, I want the contents, that's the people cleansed, and then the city itself, Jerusalem, I want even it burned to the ground. Cleansed is the problem. 12. She hath wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth out of her. It just built up. Her scum shall be in the fire. The stink is still there. And stink it does. You know, our Father is not happy when he... This is very appropriate, falling a hole in the holobah. Let you know why our Father is not happy. Especially when after he sends a letter and they still worship Antichrist, when he comes with his message, I've come to rapture you all away here at the sixth trump. You don't know it. It's really the seventh, he's saying. Well, it isn't. It's the sixth. And the sixth trump is when Satan comes as Antichrist, and the true Christ doesn't return until the seventh. And he wants the pot clean. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 13. In thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee, and thou was not purged. I tried to clean you up, couldn't get, and it just didn't clean. Why? Because they keep on with it. thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness anymore till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. And so it is that our Father, that when does that happen? At the end. We're at that end. Mark that day. Mark it well, my friend. This is the final war. This is when God brings it to an end. And praise God, bring it on. If you love our Father and if you're serving Him, you have nothing to worry about. But be ready to serve Him. 14, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, not maybe, it shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back. I'm not going to change my mind. Neither will I spare. Neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. In other words, you're going to get everything you got coming to you. I don't know how you're doing, friend. How do you serve the living God? Are you honest in all things? You want to be real careful. You notice what he said there. I don't like your lies. So don't lie to people. Give truth, the word of God. Sometimes it can even sting, but always be honest with the word of God. And it's always very healing. God here is making it very clear in this 14th verse. He's not changing his mind. You could pray and you could have 1,000 people pray. And when Antichrist has deceived those that will be deceived, he's not changing his mind. The end is coming. Verse 15. Also the word of the Lord came unto me saying, 16, son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shall thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. And what is the desire of his? It's his lovely wife. God is saying, I'm going to use you as an example. I'm going to take away your lovely wife. Verse 17. Forbear to cry. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire on thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. In other words, when the funeral bread is brought, the food, don't eat it. And you stay covered and dressed, ready to go. And what is so important that you don't want to miss at this time? There's only one bread you want. It's the bread of life. It's Christ's body that you want him with you. This is a parable to show the people that God intends to take away, and he will, to prove a point. 18. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. He followed God's word to the letter. 19. And the people said unto me, wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us, that thou doest so? What does all this mean? What are you doing? Verse 20, then I answered them, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, this is what it's about. 21, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary. The excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters whom you have left shall fall by the sword. In other words, I'm going to let it happen. 22, and you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips nor eat the bread of men. You're not going to even show sympathy to friends. It's going to happen to those. Don't show sympathy to those that are misled. All the time, you've got the remnant that stands in the center of this. No harm. 23. And your tires shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. You shall not mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away for your iniquities, your sins, your trespasses, and mourn one toward another. And so it is that God avenges. 24, thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done shall you do. And when this cometh, you shall know that I am the Lord God. Mark today, my friend. 25, also, thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the opposite of Ezekiel, God strengthens, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters. They're going to lose their identity. And they're going to lose them because they allowed them to turn away by false teachings from the living word of Almighty God. Verse 26, that he that escaped in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. You're going to find in 33:12 what this means. Until then, you won't. There are some people that escape the deception, that escape being deceived, that escape the destruction. 27 to complete the chapter. In that day, mark it, shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb. The truth's going to be heard around the world. And thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Our Father's not going to repent. He's not going to change his mind. Those that escape the deception, that is none other than God's elect and the remnant, that know that truth, they're going to speak and they're going to be heard. Why? God always allows truth to prevail even through the hardest of times. If you will listen, if you will hear. So here we're in this battle of Babylon. We've got quite a few more chapters to go within it. You will learn from it what befalls us in this generation. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii. And we would say that if you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. We have one judge. That's our Father. And he's quite capable. He gets it done. He knows even what people think. So you do have the right to discern spiritually who you should fellowship with, who is truly online with God's word and who isn't. That's your discernment. It's a gift from God, and God gives many gifts to those that follow him. See that you thank him for that. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. And all you that study with us around the world, ever so many on the internet, from China to all around, God's peace be upon you. You study His Word. God's Word is written to all peoples everywhere. Mark the day. Okay, and those of you now that do listen, if you got a prayer request, we can do away with the number, the address. Why? Wherever you are around this world, God knows what you're thinking. He's got time for you because He loves you. And so let it be said that our Father, in loving you, needs that love returned. He loves you. He may not love what you're doing. So let Him know you love Him. Once you do that, repent. Come to His altar and be blessed. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Ella from Michigan. What does it mean when the sea shall give up its dead? Revelation chapter 20, the end of the millennium has transpired, and even though everyone is in spiritual bodies, there are some that still have mortal souls, meaning they're liable to die. The sea, of course, is the people, as Revelation chapter 17 so stipulates. So the people themselves give up those that are spiritually dead, and they're on a one-way trip right into that old lake. That's where they go. Kay from Michigan, where can I find the scripture that talks about the gulf? It seems like I'm getting that question a great deal here lately. The gulf that divides paradise or heaven, whichever you wish to put it, you will find written in the 16th chapter of the great book of Luke, where Christ teaches what happens when you pass from this body on into heaven and what transpires there. Arnett from South Carolina. Excuse me. Where can I find the parable of the fig tree in the Bible? Well, it's in more than one place in the Bible, but to give you a kick start, Mark chapter 13 lets you know Christ didn't say, maybe you should get around to learning it. He said, learn it. And He meant it. Why? Well, because when that, you don't plant a seed to get a fig tree, you set out a shoot. And when that shoot transplants, begins to put forth leaves, know that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pretty close. That happened in the year of our Lord, 1948. Okay, so the other foundation to the parable of the fig tree you find in Jeremiah chapter 24, the good and the bad figs. And the fact that when the inhabitants of Jerusalem return, Israel becomes a nation again, that marks the planting thereof. Both the good and the bad fig. Don't overlook that point. Linda from Texas. Will we see our loved ones in heaven? Absolutely. That's another often asked question. In this great book of Ezekiel, when we get to the 44th chapter, you will see that in the millennium, for from the 40th chapter to the end is about the millennium, you will be able to recognize mother, brother, father, sister. Billy from Mississippi. I'm confused. Are you saying that women preachers are false prophets, or are they true prophets of God? Well, they're both. You can't, you know, of course, I'm not saying that anyone is a false prophet, because I don't judge people. But you can say this: if somebody is teaching falsely, then they are a false teacher. Teacher and a prophet will fall into the same category. We've got all kinds of prophets. We've got Isaiah and Ezekiel, which the prophet we're studying now. Those are the prophets we have for today. But it is true that when the Pentecostal tongue comes forth, that is to say, when the Holy Spirit begins to speak through, it isn't unknown. It's a cloven, goes out in every language of the world. Both men and women shall prophesy. And that's coming. It's going to happen. But it's real simple. You have to judge yourself who is true and who is false. It's real simple. Anytime they don't align with God's word, they're fake. Okay. It doesn't count. And you better be very, very careful, because a false teacher will get you in much trouble, will mislead you. You know, and what is real sad is those that really are trying and are not gifted from God to teach. you're responsible for whatever you teach. You're going to answer for it. If you cause somebody to sin, if you have a platform such as this one where it's millions, then you're going to be responsible for millions of sins for people. So you always want to do your homework, and you want to do it well. It's an awesome, awesome responsibility. But when you do your homework and you're gifted from God, you haven't got anything to worry about. That's why God allows growth, expansion. That's called blessings. It's blessings from our Heavenly Father. He has His hand on people even in this generation, the generation of the fig tree, to bring forth that truth. As He so stated in the closing verses today, that voice will speak. It's God's election. Mike from Washington, what is a clean spirit and an unclean spirit? Well, really, that's what it amounts to. A clean spirit is the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of a person that truly means well, that looks out for people, that tries to help people honestly and efficiently, that tries to better people's lives by giving them hope, but most of all, giving them our Heavenly Father's love, teaching and letting them know that He does love them. That is a clean spirit. Unclean spirit is Satan, or any time someone tries to take advantage of people for their own edification, or trying to make a name for themselves, or be something special when they're not, that's an unclean spirit. But most of all, a lunar spirit. That's a lunatic. Is a full moon, they come out by the droves sometimes. Police departments and hospital emergency rooms are well aware of it, as well as pastors. There are good spirits and there are bad spirits. Dwayne from Louisiana. That may be Iowa, but Dwayne will know. Or Diane, rather, will know. Can a good person become an evil spirit? Why, absolutely. We just covered that in this great book of Ezekiel. It said, if a righteous man fall, then the righteousness kind of falls by the wayside and the evil takes him over. So a good person. But now, I do want to qualify, though, when you say a good person and an evil spirit. An evil spirit, many times, if you go to the point of possession, then that good person must open themselves up to receiving that demonic spirit. And then they become possessed. It does happen. I know a lot of people would find that a foreign thought, but it is true. And any pastor in the country can assure you, basically, if he has any kind of a congregation or a national audience, he's going to tell you it sure is. It happens. But then we have power over all of our enemies, and God is able to, in the name of Jesus Christ, they will run from you. So then to say that a good person that understands God's word and really understands Luke chapter 10 verses 19 forward, that God gives us power over all of our enemies, certainly evil spirits are our enemy, they run from us in Christ's name. Carol from California. Pastor Murray, you have said that there are evil spirits and that they are free to roam the earth. Can you please explain this? We must have really been talking about this, because that's several in a row about evil spirits. Evil spirits can, for every negative, there is a positive. Satan is locked in heaven behind, Christ said, get behind me, that's exactly where he is, and Michael is holding him there. Documentation is Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Michael has the power to throw Satan and all his angels out at the sixth trump back to earth. But Christ is at the right hand of God, and he's going to stay there until the seventh trump, until his enemies are made his footstool. So, therefore, But spirits, the Holy Spirit comes from the Lord God Almighty, and evil spirits come from Satan and his ilk. and that's where they come from, and they do roam the earth. If the thought of this, you can read in the first chapter of the great book of Job, okay, in the past tense, before Satan was stopped, he was asked by Almighty God, in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, where have you been? What are you doing? I've been walking to and fro on the earth. Okay. Well, his spirit can still do the same thing. That's why I bring that scripture up. Brenda from Kentucky. In Revelation, when Christ returns, our church teaches we will be caught up, and that is that. That he will never return after that catching away. Help. Thanks. I'm sorry, that is a false teaching. I'm not judging your church, but it is false. Unfortunately, Brenda, this is where the trouble is. Satan is coming at the sixth trump. Christ doesn't come until the seventh. Any child can count from one to seven. And if you understand the book of Revelation, the unveiling, that it makes it so clear a child can understand. But when Satan comes, his message is, I've come to rapture you away. And I am Christ is what he'll be saying. But he's instead of Christ. That's what Antichrist means, being properly translated from the Greek. Instead of Jesus. So, I'm sorry. That's a false teaching. Christ picks his elect to put on the gospel armor and to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Not to flit away somewhere in the atmosphere, but to fight spiritually. Whereby all peoples have an opportunity when the Holy Spirit speaks through them. In that tongue spoken of in Acts chapter 2, verse 7, all will hear. And many will be saved by that. Praise God, dragged from the very grasp of Satan. What an opportunity to live, and what a time to live right now to be able to serve the living God. Bill from Texas, question. In the millennium, with our young and healthy bodies, will I have a full head of hair? Well, probably at least a little fuzz. No, in the spiritual body, everybody has beautiful hair just like me. Okay, not just like me. It'll be very colorful and natural as it is. It's young. Okay. Why? Because in the spiritual body, you don't get old. There's no such thing as getting old. Quite frankly, when God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him should never die but would have everlasting, that word in the Greek means eternal. From the day you were created in the first earth age all the way through this earth age and the eternity to come. There's no such thing as pre-existing. You've always existed. Okay, that may throw some people, but be that as it may. But when God created man, he created us in the image we were there. And that was young, vivacious, and everybody will be very natural and have a good head of hair. Eric from Wisconsin. And that's nothing against somebody that is naturally bald, okay? Eric from Wisconsin, how can I be a member of the Shepherd's Chapel? Well, you know who the Shepherd is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to take that up with him. If he approves you, we sure will, then you are a member, okay? Just talk to him. If he approves of you, after you've repented and you love him and you want to learn the word, you're in. Welcome aboard. Leah from Texas, please help me with scripture concerning relations with parents. We are to honor them, but what about a parent who is a problem, who has not been a good parent? Must we continue to help them? Well, you have to. Our Father took care of that, and he did it in a very adequate way. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. When you do that, and pray for them, okay? But set yourself apart from them. Give them a little stewing time, okay? A little maturing, growing up time. And don't let them eat at your table, you know? Cut them off, And that way they learn a lesson pretty quick that of who's blessed and who isn't. Cheryl from South Carolina, the seven seals, seven vials, and seven trumps, what order do they go in? Well, naturally, what are seals? That's sealing things in your mind, Revelation chapter 7. It is sealing God's truth in your mind. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, God tells Satan when he's cast out, you can go down there, and the ignorant ones, that's to say those that don't have the seal in their mind, you can deceive them or do anything you want to with them. But don't you dare touch mine elect. God takes care of his elect. You don't ever want to go against one of them, or you're going to end up in a heap of hurt. That's okay. No problem. You get what you deserve. But they have that seal in their forehead, which means they got the truth. And the trumps, of course, then, in other words, the seals let you know what each of the trumps bring forth and each of the vials. But then the trumps execute action. When a trumpet is sounded, it means charge, okay? The vials do not begin being poured out until God's wrath comes at the end. And they are bang, 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 just like that. And it happens pretty quick. That's why prophecies begin to appear and come like the birth of a child, the labor pains, closer and closer and closer. When those vials start hitting, it happens pretty quick. And so it is. That's the wrath of God. Tracy from Georgia, I had to file bankruptcy and I feel overwhelming guilt over the whole thing. Are there any scriptures that can ease my mind? Well, I always like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But don't, you know, move forward. Don't always look backward in the mirror, okay? Move forward. See what's ahead. Plan. Discipline yourself. And repent, and God will forgive you. That's not the unpardonable sin. Okay. So, and it makes it a little tougher, but you're in good shape. Let the Father know you love him, and think. Always put this gray matter in gear before you make moves. And I'm speaking financially, spiritually, and physically in your life. Put this in gear, and then make your move. Okay. And you'll be a lot better off. But don't be on a guilt trip. Guilt never helped anyone other than it learned you don't do that again. Look forward and ask God's blessings and move forward. Mike from Washington, what language did the six-day creation speak and the eighth-day creation? They all spoke the same language. That's why God came at the Tower of Babel when they all spoke the same language. Supposedly, as the manuscripts are written, And God decided he would confuse them a little bit, so therefore the Tower of Babel, meaning they began to babble after that in different languages. One of those things that brings God down. You want to get acquainted with that statement. What brings God down? You can tell and discern a great deal about God's Word if you'll remember that. Well, when they tried to work out their own salvation by building them a tower into heaven where they didn't have to have a Savior. Just climb right on up and walk in. Take it over. Man, did God fix their wagon. Okay, so that brings him down. If a person tries to, through various medical methods of giving themselves eternal life, that'll bring him down too. Many things bring him down, as it is written. They all spoke the same language until that day. Jim from Rhode Island. The year 2012, on December the 21st, the Mayan calendar ends. Is there any mention of this date in the Bible? No, there isn't. But we're watchmen. We're supposed to watch every day. It just so happens that is a very interesting year, both from the heavens, where we were supposed to receive our signs and wonders, And the Mayan calendar does not predict the end of the world. It's simply that was the end of that segment, that time. But it did end there, and it causes a lot of consternation on many people. We are in the end generation. So don't look for any particular date, hour, and so forth. Man's not going to know, but you are supposed to know the season. Daniel chapter 12 documents that. We are in that season. Our Father has a way of speaking to us at times. Not as some people claim, well, I talked to God today. I mean literally give signs and wonders whereby you know what you're doing and you don't mind to boldly step out there and get it done. Why? Because it comes from Him. Let Him know you love Him and prepare yourself to serve Him. That's what He wants. Let Him know you love Him. It's all right, even with your parents, like the person earlier. They brought you into the world, therefore you can honor them for that, but you can set them aside. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. It just really makes His day. When you make His day, He's going to make yours. Brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. That is a fact of life and easily proved. Now, most important though, you listen to me, listen good. You stay in His Word every day in His Word, even with trouble, it's a good day. Know why? Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.